You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Teddy Brunetti said her latest album, The Queen of Pittsburgh, began as a legacy album of sorts. She said, "I wanted our grandchildren to know that Grandma and Grandpa were cool once. The singer, songwriter, and drummer has been a musician for most of her life, once touring as a member of the B-Girls, and most recently, the Teddy Brunetti Band." She is my guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. Hi, Teddy. Welcome to our podcast.
Hi. How are you today?
I am great. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat with us a few minutes about your music. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
And you are, for me, up north. I'm in Virginia. You're in Pennsylvania, correct?
That's correct. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
All right. Has that been home your whole life?
Most of my life. All right. We spent the 70s and 80s, my husband and I. My husband's my lead guitar player.
Okay.
We met in a band, and we went to New York City and had our music career in New York City in the 70s and 80s, and then had two sons and came back to Pittsburgh to raise the kids, and we're still here.
When you came back, you said your musical career, did you come back and continue playing? Or change directions for a while?
No, we changed directions. I went back to school for ultrasound, and I did cardiac and vascular ultrasound for about 20 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And my husband's a Vietnam vet, salt of the earth. He has a degree from Northwestern, and so he did accounting. He was an auditor.
Okay.
We became the people we used to make fun of, you know. And we've been retired for about 8 or 9 years now, and so we're back in the music business.
Oh, okay, cool. So I got to ask, a drummer, how it's not the thing that you typically see women doing. That's not typically the instrument that they migrate towards. How did that happen for you?
Well, you know, it's funny too because my parents thought the same thing. I was like 11 years old. And I went to a girlfriend's birthday party, and her older sister had a little Victrola, and they put this single on. It was Louie Louie by the Kingsmen.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So that song, if you listen to it, the drums are bombastic.
Sure, yeah.
And it shot through me like a bolt of lightning. And the drums just kind of picked me, and I was possessed. I ran to that little Victrola, and I just kept playing that song over and over again. And in those moments of listening to it, I just knew, this is what you do. You're a drummer, you're a musician,
wow.
And this is what you're going to do with your life. And it was just something that hit the deepest part of my soul, and I just, you know, I'd ask my mom, how do you know what you're going to be? How do you know when you're falling on? You'll know.
Yeah.
She says, you'll know. You know, how do you know what you're going to be when you grow up? You'll know, you know. So it was one of those kind of things. I just knew, you know.
Did she?
And I went. go ahead.
Oh, did she try to talk you out of that advice when she realized that you wanted to be a drummer?
Well, I went home and I asked, can I take drum lessons? I mean, I'd never played a musical instrument or anything. And they said no, because they thought it was a boy's instrument.
Uh-huh.
So I asked for the next best thing, which to me was guitar, okay?
Uh-huh.
And so they allowed that, and I took guitar lessons, and they bought me a guitar because I did really well with it. And it serves me well, because now that's how I write my music.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
But my mother was a tap dancer when she was young, and she always wanted to play the drums, and she just thought it was a phase I was going through.
Oh,
you know?
Cool, okay.
But when I got a job at the chicken place and went and took my money and got on that bus and went out to the mall and signed myself up for drum lessons, everyone was shocked, you know, that's what this, you know,
yeah,
kid did. And then, and I just fell in love with it. I love drum technique. I love everything about the drums, you know. And I was blessed with some really wonderful teachers. And I ended up getting a scholarship for snare drumming and went to college at Eastern Kentucky University for a couple of years and dropped out and went on the road with a band.
Wow.
And so, yeah, and then ended up in New York City, and I did a lot there. And, you know, I'm back.
So you spent the first part of your life as a professional drummer in various different kinds of bands. Was there a particular style that you migrated towards?
Well, you know, back in those days, you'd hear everything on the radio back to back.
Sure.
You know, you'd hear like the Mamas and the Papas, and then you'd hear Led Zeppelin,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you'd hear Janis Joplin, and then you'd hear Joan Baez, you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
it was, you know, the style, it was so, they mixed all the genres, and I think it was the greatest time to grow up
mm-hmm.
musically, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Sure.
So we played the hits, you know, that kind of music. And I played rock. I played, actually in New York, I played punk.
Mm-hmm.
I played with some punk bands. And that, because they just wanted you to play as hard and as fast as you could,
right.
That was always fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My husband and I were in a band called Mark Truth and the Liars. We played CBGBs a lot with that guy. And then, but our first gig actually in New York, we were with the Impalas.
Oh,
and they
cool.
had, Sorry I Ran All the Way Home.
Uh-huh.
You know that song?
Uh-huh.
It was one of the very first million selling singles ever. Okay?
Wow, that's cool.
And Joe Speedo Frazier, he was a lovely man. You know, he was the singer, and he was black. You know,
mm-hmm.
and he was on the Ed Sullivan Show. And when they would go on tour, nobody knew he was black from the record. You couldn't tell.
Right.
You know, he was a young kid. He was 16 when
mm,
that happened.
Wow.
So yeah, he got, you know, he's one of those ones who got ripped off, you know, and
right, yeah.
Unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
stuff. He's passed away since then now. But yeah, we were lucky enough to play with him, you know. And then I played in a great band with Carol McDonald. She had a band called Isis. Isis, the female goddess,
mm-hmm.
but Isis, the terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
They were on Atlantic. She was an Atlantic recording artist, and I was in the band she had after Isis. It was called Carol McDonald and Witch,
mm.
and it was big, like 10, 11 piece horn band, all women.
Mm.
You know,
cool.
And they were some of the best musicians I've played with in my career. I got to tell you, she had a hot band, and we did all kinds of tours. And we played in Santa Barbara and Georgia, and you know, we traveled all over the place with her, and that was a lot of fun.
When did the singer in you come out?
The music was so good.
Yeah. When did the singer in you come out?
Well, you know, when I started playing guitar, I started writing songs immediately, and this is when I was 11.
Okay, so as a kid, yeah.
Yeah, so I always sang, you know, a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I always wanted to do my own music, too, you know, I kept writing, and I always wanted to do my own music, and I sang a little bit here and there, but I mean, I loved playing the drums, and, you know, a lot of times, people wanted front singers, and so I've done that too, but a little bit. But I enjoy playing the drums and singing, and it's different. And I don't really, it's never been an obstacle for me in terms of physically being able to do it or communicating with an audience. Mm-hmm. You know, the drum set, some people, back then, they had all kinds of notions. I mean, I couldn't get auditions because they didn't think girls could hit the drums hard enough.
Wow.
And honest to God, I can hit the drum so damn hard that it'll scare you, you know? So, you know, things are changing now, right?
Sure, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's some fabulous female musicians out there nowadays.
Yeah.
And the drummers, some of them, they'll scare you. They've got chops, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, there's more people, you know, so like anything, you know, there's just more of everything now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I still love playing and singing. And usually, I don't know how it's going to be this next time around when I start gigging, but I do like to get out front sometimes, you know?
Okay.
So I may still do that. If I have somebody in the band, maybe my son will tour with us. Our one son played guitar on this album, on one of the tracks. Actually, the title track, Queen of Pittsburgh, is a father-son guitar solo section.
Oh, that's cool.
You know? So that's really neat. And our son James Mason, he plays guitar, bass, and drums, and he plays the hell out of all of them.
Hmm.
And he's a songwriter also. But so if he tours with us, then maybe I'll get him to fit in on the drums instead of playing guitar, and I'll come out front a little bit. But I dig playing the drums and singing, you know?
So what?
I mean, it's natural to me.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
What brought you back to the music? You shared earlier that you and your husband had a professional career doing something else and retired. What made you come back?
Well, you know, it eats at you once you're a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of those things that you have that passion and that seed's planted in you, and I don't think you ever lose it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And all those, and it was very difficult to give up the music. But, you know, I felt personally that when you're trying to have a big career as a musician, as we were in New York, I had management, I had a press agent, I had all that stuff. I did everything you could do but have a hit record at that point before we left New York and came back to raise the kids. But it's about you. It's not about those kids, you know. And I come from this big Italian family. I'm the oldest of 10 kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be about the kids for us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we waited to have kids. I was 30 when I had our oldest son, Noah.
Mm, okay.
And, you know, and then there's 6 years between our sons, so we stuck it out for a while in New York. And when our second son, James, was born, there was just a turn of circumstances. New York was getting cost prohibitive. My manager got sidetracked with another business because his wife had their second baby and he needed to make money. And then there were people back home that were having health problems and stuff, but, you know, we needed to come back and help the family out a little bit, you know, so. And then things happened. My parents were retiring and the house that I grew up in became available. So it just was like a...
Yeah. Kind of serendipity.
You know,
serendipity,
right.
Right,
just,
yeah.
Everything just fell into place. It was just, you know, the thing to do.
So how long have you been back at it?
Oh, about 8 years now.
Okay. Up until the pandemic, were you out into it? Was it as full-time as you could be? I mean, when you got back into it, did you guys go into it full steam?
Well, what we did was we put together about maybe 5 years ago, we put together just to see if we wanted to start gigging again, because at this age, it's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So But we were retired, so that made it a little bit easier. At least we weren't working day jobs. My husband took some gigs while we were working those day jobs, but here and there. But I did ultrasound. It was hard. It took a toll on my elbows. Okay.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, pushing on 300-pound people who need their hearts tested, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So I couldn't play and function as an echocardiographer, so I gave up the music for a while. But we put a little blues cover band together just to check out the scene here in mm-hmm. Pittsburgh and see, just to see if we wanted to do it. And we played covers, and that got old. I mean, I started writing, actually, some songs for that band, and decided that, hey, maybe we should, let's do another album.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the grandkids to know that Grandma and Grandpa were cool once.
I read that you said that in an interview. I thought that was such a cool statement.
Yeah. I mean, so that was, it was like, that was the reason to record this album.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into the wife of my producer, Dean Sargent, on Facebook. And he produced my first solo album in New York. And he was the first call recording engineer in New York City back in the day. He worked on a lot of big projects and albums and stuff, and he's fantastic. Anyway, he's my age, I said, Dino, I'm thinking of recording again. He said, let's do it.
Hmm.
And I was shocked that he would want to do it. You know,
yeah.
he's like semi-retired. I know other people are trying to get him into the studio again, and he wouldn't do it. But we had so much fun and had such a great result. We're a good team.
Yeah,
sure. We get each other.
Yeah, and that matters.
The same wavelength, and we have the same kind of taste and what we want to hear, But he's a genius. And this whole Queen of Pittsburgh thing, this was his idea.
That's
was
cool.
His song. We collaborated on a couple songs writing-wise, okay?
Yeah.
I wrote a couple songs which I put on this album. And he came to Pittsburgh. We were doing pre-production work. Dino and Mike Hennigan, his partner, his business partner, is my other producer, Michael. He's the bass player on the album, too. And they came to Pittsburgh, and we were doing pre-production work, trying to gather material, talking about what kind of album it was going to be and this and that and the other. And we gave them a tour of Pittsburgh, and I live like a rock star. I have a wonderful loft downtown, and I have a gorgeous city view.
Hmm.
And we took them around and showed them Pittsburgh. And then on their way back to the Poconos, I get a phone call from Dino. He's like, okay, I have this idea for a song.
Hmm.
It's called Queen of Pittsburgh. And I thought, oh, here comes the hate,
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's cool.
You know what I mean? The locals are going to think, ah, oh, she thinks she is. She's
right, sure.
But if you've heard the song, now that the album's out, people should know that
the
sentiment is, I'm not going to stop kicking ass until they make me the
right,
Queen of Pittsburgh, So the payback's a bitch. Dino better look out. He's going to have to do another album with me now.
Yeah, right. Well, I was going to ask you if how far in advance you're planning your music. Is there another one in thought at least, or are you writing ahead some things?
Well, I do have a couple of things ready for the next album as far as writing goes, okay? And with this pandemic and everything, this album's taken forever to get out because we got hit with the pandemic
in the
middle of it.
Yeah, everybody's that way.
So it had been, I think, 3/4 of the way done before the pandemic hit,
mm-hmm, Mm-hmm.
And then, we couldn't even see each other. So, we couldn't get in the studio. So the plan is, I have a wonderful film crew that I'm doing videos with. We're editing our second video right now.
Oh, good.
My first video, the first single, Evil Woman, came out about 2 months ago.
Yeah, I saw that. That was cool.
Yeah, and I have these young guys who graduated from Rutgers Film School.
Uh-huh.
So they're bona fide filmmakers. And we're doing videos together, and we have another one in the can right now that they're editing, and that should be out in a few weeks.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and so that's the plan. We didn't know, because my band's all over the place. Perry Silver, the keyboard player that played on my first album, he's in New York City. Dean and Mike are in my band now, my producers, and they're in the Poconos. They're 6 hours away from me. My husband's here. We have a rehearsal studio here, but, you know, we're not going to pull everybody together and get ready to tour until it makes sense.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're working with the videos, and we're doing everything online now, kind of thing, because that's really where the business is right now.
Sure. Yeah.
And so we're helping to get a buzz going, and, you know, we're too old to be sleeping in the back of the SUV. So we have to hook up with somebody as a warm up act or something like that. Something
yeah.
will happen.
Yeah.
I'm going with the flow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we're gonna do a few more We'll do a few more videos. We'll see
what.
And by then, you know, it'll be Christmas.
Right. Then you can do some Christmas shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then by next year, we'll be ready to start hopefully touring and doing the next album.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, starting the next album, and then, you know, we're already talking about it. So.
So the album that's currently out is The Queen of Pittsburgh. If folks want to check out your videos, you've got one on the way out and one already out. What's the best way to get in touch with you and check out the music and maybe even listen to the previous record?
Well, you can always go to my website, which is www.teddybrunetti.com. That's TEDIBRUNETTI.com. Mm-hmm. And there's links there, you know, connect you to all my social media things and the music. I'm on Spotify, all the streaming platforms, okay, Deezer, Spotify, all that, Tidal. I have a YouTube channel, Teddy Brunetti Official, YouTube channel. I'm on all the socials like Instagram and LinkedIn and everything. And I love talking to my social media people, so if they want to send me a comment or a message or DM me or whatever it is, email me, whatever. There's a contact form on the website. They can send me a message. You know, I love getting to know people. It's one of the fun things about doing this now.
For sure,
I'm meeting. Oh, look, I got to meet you.
Yeah, hey, that's right.
What's better than that?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Teddy. This has been fun, and it's fun to hear how you got to where you are and being able to still do it and your instrument of choice. All that's really cool. And so I certainly wish you the best with it, and I hope you get a chance to get out and share it with as many folks as you guys can get together to listen.
Yeah, I hope we can get down there to see you too. Maybe we'll be playing some gigs in your area.
Yeah, that'd be great. Sure, I love for
face
you too.
To face.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you, Teddy.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.